This is Artist Stories, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County. I'm your host, Ava Romero. Today, I'm with Sons of Orpheus, Male Choir of Tucson. Director, Grayson Hurst. Chair of the Executive Committee, Richard Miller. Publicity and Promotion Chair, Darwin W. Hall. Sons of Orpheus, the holiday season is a very active time for you, with performances happening all over. Would you like to talk to us a little bit more about your holiday season?
Well, we just finished our first concert at Tucson Estates. That's one of our most enjoyable concerts because the estates fills the place with their residents, and we have a wonderful time there.
The second concert that's coming up is this coming Wednesday. It is a food bank benefit concert that we have now been performing with the children from the School for the Blind since 1998. And it's been something the men have looked forward to each year, seeing the children perform and all the responses that they get and the food that is brought in and the money that has been contributed. We started keeping track about 12 years ago. About over 5 tons of food have come in during that period of time. And we have raised just a little under $110,000 for the food bank. And since $1 buys $9 worth of food, that really amounts to a great deal for the food bank and our neighbors in need.
Could you tell us what kinds of music people can expect to hear?
We do an eclectic mix of music over the holiday season. Our Sunday's concert was basically a holiday concert, but there's some sacred music involved too. When we perform at Mission San Javier, we've been doing that now for 23 years. I started off with Linda Ronstadt back in the day. That's a sacred concert. It's one of the signature concerts, if not the signature holiday concert in Southern Arizona. We're very proud of that association with Patronato San Javier, with Tucson Boys Chorus, and joining us this year, the Tucson Girls Chorus. But the holiday concerts is a real mix, everything from Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas to the Parade of the Wooden Soldiers with kazoos.
That tradition started with Linda Ronstadt?
1997. One concert, that's right. And I think the next year, the next Christmas, we were invited to the White House when they used to do that sort of thing. They don't do that sort of thing anymore. But we were invited to the White House, and I remember flying back and going right into rehearsal at the Mission. So those are active times. Yeah, she got the thing started. It was somebody's brainchild to accompany the documentary that she did about Mission San Javier.
I just have to mention that, to me, that performance seems so significant, being that the Mission was founded in 1692. What's it like for you when you perform there?
It's an absolutely wonderful experience. The acoustics there are phenomenal. The setting is amazing with all the luminarias all around the ceiling, and the crowd so appreciate the feeling and the honesty and the mood of the concert.
Sons of Orpheus now celebrates its 29th season. Grayson, perhaps you could tell us how it got started and a little bit about who are the members and a little bit about your repertoire as well.
I came to the University of Arizona, joined the faculty in 1986. Prior to that, I was singing all over the place. That was my career for, 25 or 30 years. When I came to the university, they asked me, what do you like to do? And I said, well, I've been doing some early music, and I probably should have kept my mouth shut because they gave me the Collegium Musicum. And I hadn't been doing a lot of conducting, but I jumped at the chance and worked with Collegium until they got a musicologist in there. And I did it for a couple of years. And then I said, that was kind of fun. And I looked around, and there was no male voice choir in Tucson. Mm-hmm. And I happen to think there should be a male choir in every town and city. There are in Europe, certainly in Germany and France and England, Wales. Every village has its own male voice choir. So I applied for a grant from the College of Fine Arts, a faculty incentive grant, and I got one. I got the top dollar that they were offering was, I think, $1,500 wasn't much. But that got us started. We've been going ever since. Yeah.
So I understand there's an open call right now?
Always. We're always welcoming new members. All you men out there listening, if you fancy singing, give us a call.
Yes, if you just sing in the shower or even while pushing your lawnmower, come and join us. We can help you learn about the music because we have a Monday class every Monday on learning to read music that's sponsored by Sons of Orpheus and the Tucson Boys Chorus.
So even if you don't currently read music, you could still come and learn?
Yes. I think we're looking for people who can sing and who have something of a voice. And then we have two rehearsals a week for most of the year, and there are also these learn to music, read music classes on Monday nights.
Free.
So they're free. And one of our recent persons who joined us came to play the ukulele for one of our pieces, and he so enjoyed the rehearsals that a month ago he jumped in, and he's now going to be singing with us. He had a very steep learning curve, but I spoke to him just yesterday at our concert in Tucson Estates, and he said it's been really a fun experience. And you mentioned also a question about the kinds of music that we perform, and Grayson had alluded earlier to the idea of eclectic, and that doesn't even really convey the whole idea, because we will be singing opera in the same choruses at the same time that we will later in the program be doing cowboy pieces. And so it's humorous, it's serious, it's all sorts of combinations. And
I should add that this is a group that's done a lot of concert tours, European concert tours. We've sung in Mexico, Germany, Austria, Hungary, United Kingdom, England, Scotland, Ireland, Wales, France. We were most recently in Paris singing at Notre Dame. There was a fire after we left, but we had nothing to do with that. I want to say right now. Through the good offices of retired Bishop Kakanis, the Catholic diocese here, went to bat for us and got us an invitation to sing at the Vatican in Rome, St. Peter's Basilica. So we've been all over the place.
I wanted to make mention of Sons of Orpheus' commitment to the community. I have been writing grants for the organization for some time now, and we have been funded by the Arizona Commission on the Arts and the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona for as long as I have been connected with these grants. I think that the reason that we have been funded by both of those organizations has to do with the amount of commitment we have to the community. It's easy for me to write some of these requests because I can mention that we have sponsored programs at Food Bank. We have sung for the homicide survivors. We've sung at the VA, DMC Hospice. This year, we will be supporting the Primavera Foundation on the 14th of December, a concert at Grace St. Paul's at 2 p.m. It's one of the reasons why I enjoy Orpheus, and that is that its commitment to the community has made a difference in the lives of many people.
Where does that commitment come from? Has it always been a part of the mission, or was it something that took shape as the organization developed?
I think it took shape as we matured as a group, yeah.
I'm going to play the role of someone who would like to sing, but maybe has a lot of doubts going through their mind. Oh, I'm too old to sing. I'm too young to sing. I'm not good enough of a singer. I don't have the money to go on those trips. What do you say to that person who is interested and curious, but maybe just has already talked themselves out of it?
We say, come visit us. Come sit in one of our rehearsals and hear what we do and sit and be part of what we're doing. We're looking for people of all backgrounds, all ages. We have singers and musicians who work with us who have been in junior high school. Some of our instrumentalists have been in junior high school, and we've had singers who have been in secondary school and even elementary school. We're looking for people of all walks of life, all ethnic backgrounds. We're working on our diversity, and we're trying to encourage people to just come and be a part of a wonderful program.
Could you tell us a little bit about who are the Sons of Orpheus today, what walks of life they're from, what age groups, what kind of backgrounds they have?
It is quite an array of individuals. Several of us are older and have had careers. We have a few who have been ministers, teachers, college professors, people in business. Several of our members are still working. What distinguishes us as a group is that we love to sing, and we enjoy being together, and we make music together, and that joins people in a way that few other activities, I think, do.
I wonder if any of you would like to say something about that magic that happens when you sing together as part of a choir.
Well, it's usually a rough start because of the various levels of musical talent. We get off to a slow start, but as we progress with rehearsals, we gather on Wednesday evenings, and later on we get going on Saturday mornings as well. Things start to coalesce. Start to come together. Pretty soon, the magic starts happening. It's a thrill when the men have the confidence of the repertoire. Some of it's kind of challenging, foreign languages sometimes, and it's a new experience for some of them. We don't like to turn anybody away. We have been an auditioned choir, but men generally. They figure it out within three or four rehearsals whether they can make a success of it or not. So it's sort of a self-auditioning process.
Richard Darwin, you could talk to us a little bit about what this choir means in your lives.
Well, I first got involved. We were learning to sing songs in Chinese. But that didn't deter me because I also knew we were going to go sing at the Vatican. Yeah. One of the things that I love the most about Orpheus is the camaraderie. The fact that there's a cohesiveness between the tenors, the first tenors and the second tenors and the baritones and the basses, and the first tenors joking the basses and the basses joking the baritones, the baritones were the first tenors. You know, it's just that back and forth that men enjoy. That happens in teams of all kinds. So that's something that's really something for us that we really push and we really enjoy.
Can you think of any of those jokes right now?
None that we can say on the air.
I enjoy being active, and it's actually enjoyable to be in this position as chair of the executive committee, because when I moved out here from Connecticut, I had taken a test on aptitude and such, what kinds of things I might do in my second life. And having retired somewhat early, I realized that I like to be in charge of things, but I didn't want to work full time. So being in Orpheus and being able to help coordinate things has been really enjoyable. And my wife started worrying about the amount of hours I would be putting in altogether, the number of hours. And then she realized how much I enjoy being engaged. And so now I never hear that concern because she sees that the singing, which I come home, I have a hard time going to sleep after I've been singing because I'm all excited and fired up. At my age, being fired up is a great sign.
It's true. And I think a lot of people, especially after retirement, are looking for something to get up for in the morning. They're looking for the companionship, the camaraderie.
Right.
They're looking for their minds to be cognitively engaged. So this is just a gem.
It is, and learning the music is real. You know, it's really. I mean, we've had people come in and say to us after 4 months or 6 months, I've been looking through the number of pieces of music I had to prepare between September and December, and it was 56. But some of those are pieces that are not so challenging as others. But the point is that there's a whole raft of things between the popular and the religious and such that we do for the holidays, and those occasions where we're singing patriotic songs or something else. There's a whole bunch of things to learn, and it's challenging and invigorating, and it's a very large part of my life, and for many of the men it's a big part of the thing which brings them joy.
A beautiful thing about music is it keeps your mind fresh. I often sing in retirement homes and even in Alzheimer's units. And one of the last things to go is their ability to hear and remember music. Even if someone who's almost comatose would tap their hand to the beat of a song that they remember from their youth. So it's a wonderful thing to keep that music memory going.
Richard, did you sing before Sons of Orpheus?
Yes. I sang in junior high. I was a soprano in junior high. I became an alto as a freshman in high school. I got a lot of grief from a person who turned out to be one of my best friends. But I sang at the University of Rochester in the Men's Glee Club. And then when I was at a private school in New England for 33 years and sang in the faculty choir. So I have been singing since I was very young. And the reason I joined Orpheus was that I went to a birthday party in January of 2001, and one of the members of Orpheus was there, and he played the PBS program of San Javier that had been recorded in 2000. I really was impressed, and so I said, you know, we have auditions, we have, you can join in next August. And so that's when I joined Orpheus in August of 2001. And it's because of Jerry Villano and his invitation to come and join.
What about you, Darwin? Did you sing before Sons of Orpheus?
Oh, yeah.
Grayson said it. Oh, heck yeah. Yeah, I've been singing since grade school, actually. In fact, my high school choir had the honor of singing in the rotunda of the Capitol in Washington, D.C. for the 100th anniversary of the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. I sang in my college choirs, my male chorus, and the concert choir at Bethany College in West Virginia. And I've been singing in churches and individually at the retirement homes, restaurants, anywhere, anytime. At the drop of a hat, I will sing, and sometimes I bring my own hat.
Gentlemen, do you have any stories about a particular performance, a particular trip, a particular moment that really embody the spirit of Sons of Orpheus, or that, you know, just really speak to what the choir means to you?
When we sang in St. Peter's, it was a very wonderful experience, and we sang a piece called the Sanctus, and we had an outstanding soloist who who was with us at the time. And it was just a tremendously inspiring event. When we were leaving the Basilica, it was a man stopped us and said, "Were you the people who were singing?" And he said, "It sounded like angels." He was very excited. And I also remember another time when we were singing in Italy. The concert was, it was very interesting to be in Italy because we were singing with other choirs from Italy, and we were sharing the stage with them. And so here we were singing in a foreign tongue in a foreign land, and yet
carrying coals to Newcastle.
We were really singing the piece together. It was just so unified. It was so exciting. And when we finished, the audience started clapping before the accompanist even finished. And as we walked out, we had to walk out the aisles of this Mahler Hall. People were grabbing our hands and thanking us. And these were Italians who were saying, "This is just so." They couldn't, you know, it was hard for them to see how much a choir from the United States could bring, the passion, the artistry. And those are two events that stand out in my mind particularly.
We used to sing the national anthem for the Diamondbacks during spring training. We had a guy that wanted to join Orpheus, and he was a Latino who, and this is the story I was told, he had his name changed legally. It was Jesus something or other, and he had his name changed legally to Jesus Christ, legally. And well, this guy showed up. We were in tuxedos and cowboy hats for this particular, and we take our cowboy hats off to sing the anthem, and people would go nuts. And he showed up before we were about to sing, and he didn't have a hat. I said, "Jesus, Jesus, you don't have a hat. We got to have a hat." He said, "Just a minute." And he went off somewhere, and he came back in a few minutes, and he had a cowboy hat. And I said, "I've always referred to that as the miracle of the cowboy hat." It's another Orpheus miracle. Yeah, and that was that same weekend when we performed at the White House. This was Union Station, and there was a convention going on, and for some reason, one of our members was of Norwegian heritage, and we learned the Norwegian national anthem, and I thought we'd do it there in the Union Station. And when we started, all of these people stood up and started singing with us. It was really, really quiet. That was during the Clinton administration. And when we were there singing, the Clintons were in Israel.
The president, coming?
Hillary, yes, and they left town. And Chelsea went to Israel for something or other. But their cat and dog, I think Boots and, does anybody remember the name of the?
Socks,
Boots and Socks. I don't know. They were spotted there, the family dog and cat, during our singing. And then when we finished, we were invited to, have some little sandwiches and something to drink. So I've always said that we dined in the White House with members of the First Family.
Grayson Hurst, Richard Miller, Darwin W. Hall. It's been a pleasure having you in the studio today.
Thank you.
This has been Artist Stories with Ava Romero, featuring the stories of artists and arts organizations in our region. To listen to more podcasts, visit kxci.org. Artist Stories is a project of the Arts Foundation for Tucson and Southern Arizona, which is partially funded by the City of Tucson and Pima County.